Well, I got the weird redhead gene in my family.
Oh, no one else in your family's redhead?
Not in my immediate.
You're the redheaded stepchild. Oh, yeah. Which one of these things is not like the other? They're my parents, too.
So what's everyone else in your family?
I was not adopted.
Yeah, no, I wished I was adopted, so I was hoping it was an adoption.
I wish I could claim I wasn't.
Welcome to the Stories for Nerds podcast. With another epic episode, here are your hosts for SFN.
Greetings and salutations, gentle beings, and welcome to this episode 7.15 of the Stories for Nerds podcast, the show featuring a group of sci-fi and fantasy authors who not only love to discuss the latest adventures in books, TV, film, video games, anime, and all other forms of nerd entertainment, but they also read and collaborate on stories as well. I am Scott Parkin, and I have the pleasure of being here with Abby Goldsmith.
Hello, hello.
Eric Johnson.
Bonjour.
And our host, Raphael M. Jordan.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Scott. Damn it, why do you have to be so good at it? I won't do that intro!
I wish. It's all about putting it into a word processing document, increasing the font size. It makes the introduction go more smoothly. It's just,
oh, is that what the secret
the nature
is?
Of the beast. Okay. See, don't read it off your phone anymore. That's your problem.
My
hey, you kids fine. With your newfangled cell tower phone thingies, smart brain phones.
Smart brain phones. Back in my day, our phones used to be wired. And
what Scott's saying is we should have it all on mimeographs. That's what he
means. No.
Yes. Or no. That lovely blue tone and that lovely, lovely mind-altering xylene.
No.
Oh, yes.
I would rather not. Thank you.
Or in overhead projectors.
Am I the only one here who actually remembers?
Yo! I was about to say, man, I don't even remember those.
I remember
overhead projectors, you know,
I remember overhead projectors.
A clear plastic sheet with a text on it and put it on that light, the big box, the light.
No, let me tell you, when I was a kid in elementary school, I thought those things were like groundbreaking. I thought that was like sci-fi. I was like, whoa, our pictures are
super high tech. Wow.
So high tech. We are living in the future, man. Living in the future.
It's so funny. Is when you're a kid and you see this stuff and you kind of fixate on it. Yeah. When I was like 25 years old, I had a chance to get one of those things after they had already fallen out of use and favor. So I was like, cool, I'm going to get me an overhead projector and I'm going to be able to look at it in my living room because I'll never use it for any other reason.
I remember we actually had a projector growing up and we used to play, it was like a big, and we had like a big screen that we could display everything on. And oh my God, we actually had like the RGB like lights that you had to combine in order to get color and everything. And so I remember playing my video games on the whole wall and I thought it was like so groundbreaking because I was like, yo, I got a giant TV and holy crap. Simpler times. Little did we know. But anyway, folks, welcome to the podcast. This is going to be our nerdy chat episode where we're just going to be talking about all the nerdy stuff we've been up to since our last meetup. So before we do that, we always like to get updates on the authors on the panel and see what they've been up to on the creative and on the writing front of things. So, Miss Abby, what have you been up to on the writing front?
Yeah, I'm actually about to go down to starting in August posting once a week instead of twice a week on Patreon and Wattpad. Got to slow down a little bit. I'm very close to the end of posting book 6. So got a lot of fun readers, got some engagement. It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to be starting book 7 on there pretty soon. That's incredible. I'll let you know when it happens. Probably next week or the week after, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll be probably a month. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's soon. Yeah.
So then, once book 7 comes out, are you going to pick up the twice a week thing again, or are you just going to stick to once a week now?
I'm going to stick to once a week for at least a while. Book 7 has 92 chapters. So that, you know, if I post once a week, that's over a year of posting. That's like a year and a half or almost something. I can't do math, but, you know, it's a lot.
Okay, do you post a chapter? Do you post like a single chapter each week? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's almost 2 years. That's close to it. There's 52 weeks in a year. So
right. Yeah.
You're flirting with it. You're flirting to 2 years. Holy crap!
Yeah, but that'll be it. That'll be the entire Torth series when this one's done. Wow. So I'll see if I have readers that are gonna stick around for the whole next 2 years. It's a long time.
Look, if you got people giving you feedback and engagement with book 6, then they're definitely going to be here for the long haul of book 7, for sure.
So if you've been through 6 books and have fans.
Yeah.
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 I hope so. But it's like a lot of the people on Wattpad are young. Like, they're in high school or college. And it's like, you know, when you think about it, like, 2 or 3 years is enough time for somebody to graduate, start a family, start a new career. Like lives change quite a lot in that amount of time.
But fans are fans. They make time.
All those youngins with their attention deficit and
hyperactivity.
Yeah.
Or they buy bots and, you know, and have them spam you to force you to conform to their ways.
Oh, dude.
They're going to wait till the end and binge listen. Yeah.
I hope I get 2 weeks
straight of nothing but Abby.
Yo, right? Just go all in. Just like the way like people like hold off on streaming shows. They're just going to wait for the whole thing to come out. It's like, you know what? Nope.
There's a few readers on Wattpad that do that. Like, they'll wait till the finish and then they'll binge it. Yeah, and I love that. Like, I'll see, because these are people that vote on every chapter. Wattpad has a maximum. You can only vote 200 on 200 chapters per 24-hour period. And like, yeah. So like, yeah.
Oh,
like,
well, such a limit. Golly. Right?
I had one reader who was like, I would keep voting, but I ran out of time and I want to keep reading. So sorry, I'm not voting anymore, but I'm going to keep reading.
Like, bro. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty then.
I think you'll be okay once book 7 comes out, needless to say. But yeah, congratulations on making it that journey so far. And what about that other story that you got?
Yeah, the other one. It's I'm pretty much at the climatic end game of it. So I probably have like 4 more chapters left to write of this book.
Okay.
It's a standalone, not a series. Ha ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
It's small.
I'll believe it once we get to that conclusion. This one
only 140,000 words once.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, well, to that end, like, how many words are you in right now? Do you know how many, like, what your word count is at the moment?
Of this little one, it's like, honestly, it's 60,000.
60.
Yeah. It's tiny. It's a tiny little thing.
This is the climax, Abby.
I know.
You got 60,000 words in and you're halfway done. It's
almost done. The climax is 60,000 words. How
climax
long is
60,000 words. That's not tiny, Abby. That's not tiny.
No, not the climax, the entire book.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm at the 60,000 word line. It's short and tiny.
I got you.
I might actually like end up adding some detail and stuff, so it might end up being a longer word count when I'm done, but yeah.
I always find it easier to add more content than to take out content. Because, you know, like, when you've written this stuff out, you look at it as like, man, this was really, really good. This is my baby. I really feel it, but At least for me, it's always challenging to take out and to add in, because then when you add in, you could be like, oh, well, now I can like delve in a little deeper into like this scene, or I can build up like this character a little bit.
See, my struggle is that I can't reduce I'm really bad at reducing words within a scene. I just remove plot elements.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit different. And I don't
Yeah. But that's what I do as well. Like I can't just like cut back on, like I can't like simplify like a sentence or structure like that. I was like, no, like when I have to like really cut back on my words, I'm like, oh, okay, well, we gotta do some really, really like cutting, like taking out scenes and stuff.
Now, having said that, there is a theory that says do yourself a favor and do a syllabic edit where you actually intentionally, and this is where reading it out loud helps,
yeah,
where you actually reduce the cognitive overhead required for your reader, mm-hmm, so that you get through prose more quickly, more efficiently.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already like a prose minimalist. Like I tend to write really sparse. Like I don't go for really long flowery descriptions. I do a lot of action and a lot of like right to the chase, almost like summary form. So that's part of the thing is this, it's so weird because the Torth series, like it was really in-depth world building. There was so much world there. And this is just like, derp. So, yeah, like this one is, it just feels flimsy. So I'm like, well, I might want to not summarize things quite so much when I go over it again. Give it a little more meat. Yeah.
We can't have no derp in our stories.
Yeah, you've seen my style. I mean, I don't beat around the bush.
This is true. This is true. You get straight to the point and everything. Yeah. Everyone has a different method.
Yeah.
But how about you, Scott? Have you done anything on the writing front of stuff since the last meetup?
You know, actually, I have been, my writing energy levels have gone up radically, and I'm actually well into finally a legitimate rewrite of my, of the Eighth Dragon. So there you go.
Very cool. Very good. Which one is, the Eighth Dragon? I remember you talking. What's the best about that one?
Set in ancient China, featuring seventh daughter of a father who wanted a son and is mad at the dragons for not giving him one.
Right. Oh, ancient China. God, love it. And yeah, there's been a lot of talk about population issues over there as of late because of certain traditions and stuff, so yikes.
Oh, you mean the one child policy has a downside going forward?
Yeah,
all boys, no girls. Oops.
Yeah, I'm really like, who saw that coming? Anyway,
you could have predicted. Yeah. But if you intentionally have several generations of only boys, that you might experience issues.
That. So is this a Eighth Dragon book? Is this just going to be a standalone? Or?
Yeah, it's a standalone. It has series potential in that everything does, but it wouldn't be a traditional series. It would be a legitimate standalone and sequel standalone, further adventures rather than extended story.
Okay.
I'm working on a couple other things that are two or three book series. I do not have the Abbey gene. I do not go, you know, eight volumes. That's seven volumes. That's not, I don't think in those terms. Now, I do think in structures, right? I write in shared worlds, so I have large arc and connected stories, but each of those is a standalone piece within a connected universe.
I gotcha.
So.
Okay. That's what's up, man. All right, and let it be known that this is going to be the last time that I come on this podcast without any writing underneath my belt, for good reason. Because, well, everyone on the panel, they already know this, but I did get that job that I was working so hard for. So, phew! Yay!
And a marginal upgrade.
Yeah. You could say that.
That's awesome. So, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. But of course, the past couple of, well, it's been over a month of me like trying to get this job and stuff. So, been hunkering down with a lot of research with doing interviews and presentations, and I am doing some online courses with HTML and CSS, just basic stuff, because one of the requirements of the job is to do web design, and I haven't done CSS in quite some time. So it's more about a little bit of a refresher, but Fantasy Star Online, I'm not gonna lie, that's been taken that Fantasy Star Online has been taking a lot of my free time and stuff, but it's such a relief. It's like, oh my god, I can finally breathe. Like, I remember I got the offer last Friday, and we went out to Cheesecake Factory to celebrate. Thank you, Eric and Sarah. And when I got home, I just crashed. And this is Friday night. I don't usually go to bed until like maybe 1 or 2 o'clock, just because, you know, hey, weekend, let's stay up, let's watch some TVs and stuff. And no, it was like a little before midnight and the lights were out. So I was one of those cases like where like it's like the anticipation and like not hearing back from them, and then like, did I do something? America done this. Maybe I should do a final thing or something like that. So yeah, it was a process. So now that I don't have to really dwell on that so much anymore, my mind can really go back into being a creative and stuff. So to that end, I know that I have a couple of stories that I keep juggling around. I got the Olympian story, and then I had this standalone sci-fi story that I had started. And so I'm not too sure which one I want to deal with. I'm like, well, since I haven't written for so long, maybe the safe thing to do would be, okay, well, let's just do the standalone, and we can get those creative muscles, you know, strengthen up those creative muscles again and everything. Because I mean, when you haven't written like that in a while, it takes a while to kind of get familiar with, you know, with writing like that, oddly enough.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, you can get used to anything. It's like I was like used to writing my series for like longer than I will admit, you know, like mm-hmm. way too many years. And now it's like, I guess I'm realizing you learn something new every time you write a new thing. And it's like, it's like, yeah. And like, I'm realizing now it's like, I really need to be passionate about the project. And I wasn't so passionate about the standalone. And I think I just like big epic series because I can like really get to know the characters and like spend a lot of time with them. And it's almost like they're friends. And it's like, these are people that I look forward to spending time with. I'm like, oh, I look forward to seeing like what happens next. Whereas like a little flimsy throwaway standalone novel, I'm like, I'm only going to be living with them for a few months. Like, I don't really care about these people all that much. It's like meeting people on a subway or something.
That's not a horrible analogy. That's not a horrible analogy at all. It's like, well, they're not bad people, but it's different from meeting like a longtime friend or family.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not taking them seriously. I'm just like, right. These silly people.
Short fiction are just like faces on a newspaper. Here and gone.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
You silly epic writers, you.
But I mean, maybe that's how it is for you. Like, I mean, I guess everyone's different. Like, everyone has a different process. But it's like,
yes,
you know, you might discover when you're doing your standalone that I'm not that passionate about it. Or you might discover like, oh, this is, the pressure's off. It's wonderful. Like,
right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Everyone goes about it differently, and you're right. I think I talked about in the past. Well, like every time I do a new story, I approach it completely differently. Like the way I do the outline's different, the way I do the structure is different. So it is you're always learning, and it's not like a defined rule when it comes to like writing. And because I mean, there's no right and wrong way to do it. It's just your method that you gotta stick to. So, yeah, looking forward to getting back to discovering my method again. Awesome. Yeah. But how about we get into some nerdy news where we offer some sci-fi and fantasy book recommendations along with some updates in nerd culture before we get to our nerdy chat. So first book recommendation that we have, and again, sorry gang if this is out of order based on the show notes I gave you, but the first one that I'm going to be doing is Rune Mage by Catherine Hollister. Rune Mage, raising the dead is impossible magic. When Serene killed her mother and sealed her sister in a stone, she swore to rectify the greatest mistake of her life, even at the cost of her own humanity. She signs up to be a state mage in order to resurrect Madeline, but the magic-wielding country of Karma and demon-commanding country of Hana are on the brink of war, and state duty prevails over personal desires. Civil unrest and increasing pressure from the king catapults Serene into a terrifying game of deception, politics, and betrayal. The battle may be against the demon summoners, but the war is against something far darker and more powerful. So Chaos Mage is a rightful punishment and the treason and attempted genocide and execution. When Kristen Heard escapes her fate, the magical council and the civilian council clashes. Who would pay for the suffering Karma went through mere months ago? Serene and Mally toe the political line between war and justice in an effort to bring the traitor back, but something deadlier is pulling the strings in this game of cat and mouse, and they are once again the chess pieces. This is The Rune Mage by author Catherine Hollister, and this is available on the wonderful world of Wattpad. Okay, so I did do this out of order. My bad. Okay, next book recommendation that we got is The Thief's Daughter by author Jeff Wheeler. And this is a Wall Street Journal bestseller, the second book in the million copy bestselling King Fountain series from Jeff Wheeler, which you can find out on the sfn.com website. So Owen Kixeden, sorry for butchering that name, first came to court of the formidable King Severn as a prisoner, winning favor with the Stormy Monarch by masquerading as a boy truly blessed by the fountain. 9 years hence, the once fearful Owen has grown into a confident young man, mentored in battle and politics by Duke Horoth, and deeply in love with his childhood friend, the Duke's granddaughter. But the blissful future Owen and that's an interesting spelling of Elizabeth Mortimer anticipate seems doomed by the king's machinations. A pretender to Severn's throne has vowed to seize the crown of King Fountain, but Severn means to combat the threat by using Elizabeth as bait to snare the imposter, and forcing Owen, as a pawn in the dangerous charade, to choose between duty and devotion. With prisoners and spies circling ominously and war looming on the horizon, Owen must make painful sacrifices to beat back the advancing shadows of death and disaster. Will Owen's conflict heart follow the king's path, or will he risk everything for love? Once again, this is The Thief's Daughter, the King Fountain series, and this is available exclusively on Amazon. Okay, and in some other nerdy news, by the time you guys get this episode, DC is known for chucking out some really good animated content. So by the time you guys get this, you can check out Green Lantern, Beware My Power. And that's going to be available digital and Blu-ray. Now, and Beware My Power, recently discharged Marine sniper John Stewart is at a crossroads in his life. One which is only complicated by receiving an extraterrestrial ring, which grants him the powers of the Green Lantern of Earth. Unfortunately, the ring doesn't come with instructions, but it does come with baggage. Like a horde of interplanetary killers bent on eliminating every Green Lantern in the universe. Now, with the aid of the lighthearted Green Arrow, Adam Strange and Hawkgirl, this reluctant soldier must... Eric, stop! this reluctant soldier must journey into the heart of Galactic Ron Thunder War and somehow succeed where all other Green Lanterns have failed. The film's supervising producer is Butch Luik. Green Lantern, Beware, My Power is available on 4K, Blu-ray, and digital starting, oh, well, like I said, by the time you guys get to this episode. Okay, and a other bit of nerdy news, we got some Rick and Morty, which is ripped and ready for season 6. Now, remember having to wait agonizingly long between new seasons of Rick and Morty? Well, those days are officially in the past. Adult Swim just announced the arrival date for the award-winning series 6th season, and it's almost exactly 1 year after the season 5 finale, with a global premiere set for September 4th. That's just, holy crap, it is. Yeah, that's a little over a month away. And it sounds like we'll be getting something in addition to just a new episode. Not really surprising considering how much Rick and Morty loves a gimmick, but it's not clear exactly what. Now, puzzle through the press release statement from Michael... Ooh, I'm not even going to try to say that last name. From Michael O, president of Adult Swim Cartoon Network. As we prepare to launch this soon-to-be iconic season, we will be giving fans a unique way to be part of the fun. So keep your eyes peeled. So, to that end, folks, if you want to stay up to date with other nerdy news and sci-fi recommendations or fantasy recommendations, along with updates in nerd culture, be sure to check out the storiesfornerds.com website or our social media outlets, that being Twitter, our Facebook group, or our SFN page. You can also subscribe to our free newsletter where you will get access to some exclusive giveaways and also some gifts from featured storytellers of the past. You can even support us financially by going to our Patreon page where you will get uncut SFN podcast episodes along with our Story by Nerd segments in their entirety. So to that end, folks, we have finally arrived to the Nerdy Chat segment of this episode. So we always like to start off with you, Miss Goldsmith. What have you been up to on the Nerdy Front of Things since last meetup?
Really, not a whole lot, but I did read a serial, kind of what they call slice of life fantasy, called Beware of Chicken. Have you heard of this? Anyone? Yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but someone. So this thing got big on Railroad, and it's in the vein of cultivation novels, meaning Chinese, lore, basically. Like, cultivation novels are kind of like leveling up in martial arts and gaining great master power. So the premise of this thing, though, is like there's a guy who was doing that, like went to a monastery, is leveling up in power, but he got killed, and a person from Canada got shoved into his body.
Probably and specific, but okay.
Well, I'm sure the author's from Canada. I mean, it's like, obvious. Okay. So this Canadian's now, like, inhabiting this, like, ancient Chinese, like, you know, grandmaster of power. And he's like, I don't want to fight demons. I'm just going to start a farm. He's like, I'm just going to, like, hoe potatoes. Just, you know, have a good life. So he just leaves the monastery, and he's, like, just going off having a farm. And the whole book, this entire serial, is basically him just having a good time, you know, selling his farm produce at the local market and getting married, having weddings, having snowball fights, you know, just having a good time. And every once in a while, a bad guy will show up, and he just, like, kind of accidentally kills them almost, because he's just so powerful, he doesn't even know what he's doing. So... And he has a rooster that's just, like, he's been feeding it magic herbs, and it's, like, uplifted now, so it's, like, got a personality. And it's basically, like, defending his farm. It calls it the farm, and it's, like, you know, it has this, like, really grandiose vision of itself.
So, the rooster.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, like, he calls it Big D, and the rooster calls himself Biddy. And he's, like, I am Bidi, and, you know, prepare to die. You know, just really, like, cocky. So it was a rooster. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm just like, I was very amused. I thought cocky, this was really, really fun. All right.
Thank you, Scott.
A little slow on the uptake. Took a second.
Oh, wow. I was
not paying enough attention.
It needed to be pointed out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just like, and I know, like, there's been this whole, like, trend towards what they call slice of life fantasy, where it's basically really lighthearted fantasy, where instead of having wars and killing tons of people and political intrigue, it's like people just opening a coffee shop in a fantasy land and serving coffee. Or, like, you know, like that's the premise of Legends and Lattes, which is that new book by Travis Baldry. And another one is, like, another big one on Railroad was something called The Wandering Inn, where it's basically a person from our world gets sucked into this Dungeons and Dragons kind of universe, but she's just an innkeeper. She's like, just opens an inn. She's just an innkeeper. You know, and then this one, which is, he's just a farmer. He's just having a good time farming. And actually, like, you know, I wouldn't have thought I would enjoy this, because I really like, you know, I like a lot of action. Like, right. I want, like,
big conflict,
high stakes, right?
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'm not gonna enjoy this. This is gonna be some dull ass thing where he's just hoeing lettuce or something. But I mean, it was actually pretty fun. Like, it's just funny. It's like there's something satisfying about watching somebody, like, just easily defeat, like, these horrible bad guys that think a lot of themselves. You know, they just come in, they're like, oh, I'm like the most powerful chi master that ever walked the earth, you know. And this guy's just like, oops, did I kill you? Huh. Oh, well. I'm going to get back to...
I think that's called, like, the Isuke drama, like, genre. I think it's like, yeah, S-I-K-E-I, something like that. Yeah, I enjoy those. It's usually a lot of fun.
Yeah. They're getting really big, like, for the English-speaking audience. I'm sure they started in Asia. But,
yeah, I know the most recent one that a lot of people will probably think that comes to mind in Japan is One Punch Man, because it's pretty much a similar premise, like, where you got this OP guy and no one takes him serious, and all these over-the-top villains come in to destroy the city, and he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to kill you so fast.
I just wanted to go get a soda. Why? Why did you have to interrupt me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so one of the fun things about this one that I was reading is, like, there's an official in the town who's terrified of this guy, because he starts to realize that this guy is, like, super freaking powerful, and he's just hitting him. And he's like, all the most powerful villains in the universe are going to come after him. And he's like, I don't want my town to become, like, a gateway to hell type of thing.
Right.
So he's just, like, really, he's, like, terrified of the guy, and he's trying to appease him, and he's, like, trying to get him out of the town, and trying all this political maneuvering, but the guy is just a big, friendly guy. He's just like, yeah, would you like to have some rice? I'll give it to you cheap or whatever. And then this official is just like, what am I saying? He's like tying himself in knots over every little interaction.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of entertaining. Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So is it a series of books or just...
I mean, it was a serial online, and he's going to be publishing sequels to it, so
okay. It
is a series, technically. And he kind of left it a cliffhanger at the end, where it's like, you know, oh, there's another villain coming at him type of thing. But but it's like...
As they do.
That, yeah, like, come on.
Chapter 1, he bravely turned his tail and fled.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Robin.
Well, okay, so part of the funny thing is, like, he doesn't realize that he's, like, super, super powerful. He thinks he's just moderately powerful. Like, he's like, well, I'm like a reject from this monastery, so, you know. But apparently, like, what he doesn't know is he's, like, the emperor's son, and, you know, he's got, like, all this extra power that he didn't realize he had. So so he's just, like, kind of oblivious basically to his own power. And everyone thinks he's, like, this great sage, you know? They're like, oh, you know, like he has words of wisdom. And they're just, like, things that people in Canada say.
Not to diss Canadian proverbs, for
that
the record.
That is the most Canadian China man I've ever heard.
Yeah, he's like, meatball syrup, you should try it on pancakes. And they're like, pancakes? what are those? You know, it's just like really like mystical, you know.
Ooh. Oh my word.
Let us worship the pancake.
Pancakes, yes, yes. Syrup, oh, the righteous, take the righteous golden syrup coming from the holy maples.
Right, right. Like, I guess in this world, like, moose are really, like, mystical beasts, or they're just, like, really rarely seen. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we back home, we have moose everywhere. And everyone's just like, really? He comes from the land of the moose. And, you know, it's just...
Gosh, that's crazy. That reminds me of that anime Gate that I watched, like, maybe a year or two ago, where it was, like, pretty much modern Japan opens up this portal to a fantastic realm and everything where, you know, it's pretty much Middle Ages and stuff. And the military force, they actually set up like an FOB, like within this realm. And so all these rulers and officials come to examine the base and stuff. And they're so flabbergasted by the, simple things like the beds that they sleep on. They're like, oh my gosh, regular people sleep on these beds? Or wait a minute, your food is cooked so quickly and you have fresh water. Why does everyone have fresh water? Only the kings and queens have fresh water in this, you know, in our realm and stuff. And like cell phones is like, what? It's like magic for them. Or not even cell phones, just walkie-talkies even, or like just so like mysterious and powerful. Helicopters are metallic dragons because they fire. Oh, I guess there's a correlation between the helicopters and your missile launcher dinosaurs. Yeah, yeah. So
no, pterosaurs.
Yeah, the pterodactyls, right, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's not a big feature of my tour series. That's just like, it's just somebody's pet, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're at war and you happen to be on a planet with like megafauna, what are you going to do? You're going to outfit at least one of them with missile launchers, right? I mean, that's just what you do.
Not one. I'm going to have a freaking armada. I'm going to have a fleet.
Yeah, yeah. It only makes sense, yeah.
If it will listen to instructions once in a while, of course you will.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
it's a very intelligent predator, it's, you know, yeah.
Okay, and what's the name of this this series again?
This is called Beware of Chicken.
Beware of Chicken.
By Casual Farmer. Yeah, I love how like all these writers that got their start on Royal Road all have like these really funny names, and like they just name their books like really ridiculous things like this. And then you'll see their reviews on Goodreads and it's like 50,000 reviews and you're like it's a lot more than you see from traditional publishing.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anything else?
I mean, I can't really say much. I've been kind of watching Better Call Saul a little bit.
Okay.
That's really it. Yeah.
I could have sworn that I thought I read, you posted something about a show that you had watched recently. I can't remember what it was. It was like maybe a week or two ago. I don't know. Maybe those are thoughts. I am drawing a blank on it. What was it? You're like, oh, well, this seems pretty good. Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah. Crap, I mean, I watched the ending of The Boys, but I think we talked about that last time, so I don't.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. And then I saw in the on the wall someone. I'm sorry, I didn't mean, for what it's worth, Abby, I did not mean to trigger you about the announcement of season 2 of Wheel of Time.
No, season 3. No,
well, you, season 3, yeah, season 3, yeah.
It's not you, like, I've seen, I'm on Facebook and other groups, I've seen it posted around. Yeah. I saw it before you posted it, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, like I just, everyone who thinks the show is crap is disgusted by this renewal, which is a lot of people,
Yeah.
So
all I could keep thinking what it was for the equivalent was like my how I felt about the Halo series and how it got like a second season for it, and I'm just like, how did this happen? Yeah. What world did this, is this possible?
Yeah, so, in the words of another Wheel of Time fan, I hope I live to see a good adaptation.
Yeah, right.
They do it right at some point. Yeah. You know, you never know. I still think, I know a lot of people say, oh, this is the only adaptation it will ever get. But I don't know if that's necessarily true. You know, they do sometimes revisit some stuff like this.
There have been 3 tellings of Dune in the past 3 decades. So
yeah, and Aragorn is getting another.
Aragorn's getting a whole series on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I don't think it's impossible that Wheel of Time might get a redo by someone who's actually competent.
Yeah.
So, sorry to the fans of the show.
If you like it, I'm glad you like it, but you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
Seinfeld, sorry.
I get it. And hopefully maybe with the Aragorn series they maybe stick a little closer to the books. I don't know. See, that's what gets me. That's what always gets me when we get like these interpretations or adaptations off of like original source material. It's like these creators are too scared to use. And it's not like I want to be a purist or anything like that. It's like you have to follow this and this and this beat for beat for beat in order for it to be good. But there's a reason why these stories, whether they're video games or books, resonate with such a mass audience.
That's exactly it. It's like you've got to wonder. It's like, I mean, honestly, I think what happened is it's a popularity contest. And there, it's like this guy won this show Survivor and he's like, oh, you know, I love the Wheel of Time, I promise. You know, but obviously he's lying. Okay, I'm sorry. He knows. Maybe he is a big fan somehow, but he just doesn't respect the material, and I think that's obvious. So
I hope Aragorn's good. I like that series. Watch the movie as a thing of what not to do.
Honestly, like, the thing is, though, I thought the movie did... I read the book of Aragorn, and I watched the movie of Aragorn. It did kind of follow it. I think they made an honest attempt in that case. I don't think it was a full-on just like, let's do
a
story.
But at the same time, I didn't like that they cowered out on the Urgrels. Because, you know, they said they were too afraid, they were too close to Lord of the Rings.
There you go. Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, I feel like in a case like that, they weren't paying attention to like how cheesy certain things come across. You know, so it's like the dragon's like sexy girl voice. Like I don't know if anyone was thinking about that.
Is this what they imagine the voice to sound like when they read the book? Right. But again, I mean, that's just one of those things that's like this is hard to interpret because I mean everyone's visual when it comes to the novel might be different and what everyone hears might be different. So that's just one of those cases. You're not gonna be able to like satisfy everyone and stuff like that, but even then it's like
and I mean I do think it's difficult, like it's easy to go like, especially with fantasy, when secondary world fantasy, like it's really easy to go from like there's like a fine line between disgustingly dorky and cheesy and really awesome and amazing. You know, like Lord of the Rings pulled off awesome and amazing. And yeah, but it's like, you know, then the Shannara Chronicles, like, you know. You know, but it's like, it's a fine line, and I'm not sure, like, these filmmakers respect that line all the time.
Because on paper, like, when you think about it, when you read Lord of the Rings, like, and think about, like, a live adaptation, like, it's like, oh, man, some of the stuff that they do in that should not interpret well into like screen on live action. But oh my goodness, it's like considered like one of the most respected live action adaptations of a book out there, or a series. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like in that case, like his respect for the material came across. Like you could tell that he wasn't like, oh, dwarves are so dorky. I'm going to make dorky dwarves. Like, you know, he was like, he respected it. He's like, these dwarves are noble, and I'm going to show how noble they are. Like, yeah.
And it's a fine example of finding the soul of the original, if not all of the details, right?
Yeah.
It didn't attempt to wink. It didn't attempt to nudge. It went straight at with as much seriousness as it could manage. And it worked.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like when you have like Shannara Chronicles or Wheel of Time, these actors, it's like they all look like MTV stars that just got out of a spa day, you know, and they're like all nicely airbrushed and their lips are all plumped up and they've got like blush on. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's not how people like you're making them look like
everyone's either everyone has to be between an 8 and a 10.
Right. See, exactly. Yeah.
To Lord of the Rings credit, right? Even the handsome good guy was really kind of sweaty and a little grungy and
exactly. And earthy. They didn't make the hobbits look like a boy band. You know, they
yeah,
made the
yeah, hobbits right, like, right.
You know, some of the little middle aged, a little pudgy. They look a little.
They look like hobbits.
Yeah, and you know,
they looked like hobbits.
That's right. How they were described in the book is basically as middle-aged, furry-toed old guys. That's right. Pudgy guys, sorry.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like in our current standards of beauty in Hollywood are like straight hair, and they just were like, no, these hobbits have curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, things like that. It's like they were basically they're not trying to like appeal to like, oh, let's pull teenagers and see what teenagers what's the common view of beauty that teenagers have. We'll do that. No, they're like, we're going to go by the books.
Well, it is. And one starts from a Hollywood perspective. How can we adapt this to the Hollywood look and feel versus how can we use Hollywood to adapt the original sense? Mm. And they are different things. And it takes a very brave, very committed director to go that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure it looks like a big risk to studios. You know, they're like, oh, you're going to like not go with Hollywood beauty? What's wrong? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about like reading Save the Cat is it talks about, you know, look, they're here to make money. If they can do it off of your story, great. If they can do it off of someone else's story, great. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Don't take it personally. This is what they're trying to accomplish and the mold they're going to try to work the story into. Do yourself a favor. Write it in that mold to start with and they'll do less violence to your story.
Hmm.
It's not precisely the way it was phrased, but it was a secondary subtext of the idea.
I think that like, you know, right now Hollywood is in a thing where they don't want to take risks, but that can change someday. Don't. You know, that's not the way, they're not stuck in that mode forever and ever. Like it'll change in a decade or two decades or something.
No, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. You don't think so? Oh, you little face.
Well, I'm not saying it'll change tomorrow, but I mean, eventually it's changed before. It'll change again.
The only way Hollywood will change is if some external force becomes so massively popular that they must adapt or die. It's the only way they'll change.
And that's what I think is happening because like
they've had the 90-year formula and they're going to stick with it as long as they can.
But see, to me, Scott, I think honestly what happened with the pandemic has really put Hollywood on edge because they realized, it's like, wait a minute, a lot of people, they don't need to go into the movie theaters anymore. They don't have to just be fed nonsensical action flicks without any substance anymore. Like, people will actually stay home and get their content from home, like on a streaming service, or hey, even some studios, they're just putting their movies, they're not even putting their movies in theaters anymore. They're just going straight onto a streaming service now. So I think Hollywood's gonna have to like recognize, it's like, wait a minute, people, we're not the only source of like of entertainment anymore, and people are willing to go elsewhere, and like they can't be the gatekeepers anymore. Kind of like the way that we see like the publishing houses.
I mean, I'm a little more cynical. I think they still are the gatekeepers and the publishing houses are still gatekeepers.
I mean, they are, but they're not as big of a gatekeeper. They're more, there are alternatives now that people have.
There's a lot of chicken or egg working here too, because you've got an audience that's been developed under a concept and structure. So they have expectations that were as much taught to them as came naturally to them. And getting that to transition is not, you know, the movement of a year or a decade even. That's a multi-generational shift.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think we're in the midst of that. I really do. But I don't think it's going to be.
It's not going to happen like next year or.
I'm thinking 40 years, not 5 to 10. Personally.
40 years? No, don't say that.
Yeah, that's too long.
I think, speed of internet, 25 years.
I think 10 to 15. 10 to 15. That's what I say.
10 to 15.
I hope you're right. I really do. Because I think there has been a fundamental stagnation in filmmaking over the last 20 years that just has to go away.
I went to film school, and like, you know, one of the things we went over was like, the decade of the 70s was a whole bunch of really depressing, dreary films. And then when Star Wars came out, it was just like, oh my God, it has a happy ending.
Real release. Well,
and Hollywood, like everything else, is a trailing indicator, right?
They are.
The 70s were dark because Vietnam was dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Civil rights were dark in the sense of being a revolutionary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a lot of broken society, broken people, broken viewpoints, stories.
Yeah.
Because that's what people who didn't actually experience that thought it looked like from over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wrote a bunch of stories that didn't, that resonated, but didn't quite depict, if that makes any sense. And it did, it became so pervasive because, oh, well, this is what works for everyone else. And everyone else's dog did the same thing. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. Like the publishing industry and the Hollywood as well, like they're trend chasing. But I mean, like there are every once in a while, there is a trendsetter that kind of comes out of left field and does something and then they all copy it.
Every once in a while.
Well, they really are. You know, talking about The Boys, right? As a concept, that was a really intriguing concept. Now it's been done
before,
a half a dozen times now by other people, both slightly before and certainly since.
Mm-hmm.
It's tapped out as an idea, okay?
Yeah.
Or it's not tapped out, but it's nothing new has been added to it since the initial shock of the idea.
Right.
Time to come up with something else. And I suspect that we're going to see, right? Because you have kind of that pendulum swing. And I think a little bit of small guy enablement is about ready to hit. You talk about beware of chicken. That's exactly what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Is an ordinary guy with no delusions of grandeur, no desire to save the universe, just wants to live well and get out the other end of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But adventure happens anyway. Now let's follow that from the point of view, not of epic, heroic, ultra hero, but from just us ducks, or in this case, chickens. Okay, he's not a chicken, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, he's just got a friendly rooster that thinks a lot of himself.
Yeah.
Well, I've got it up on the screen. I've been reading it kind of in the gaps, and it's like, this is not your grandpa's epic fantasy novel. No.
Yeah. He just wants to, you know, plow his field and sell some fruits.
I might have to check that one out.
And that stuff, like, I noticed, like, the last thing I read from that got big on Roller Road was that one by Shirtaloon, the He Who Fights Monsters, which was another one. It was ludicrous. It was like an Australian.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, so it's like he's an Australian guy that wakes up in a game world, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, what the hey mate, you know, and and it's just like hilarious because he's just a happy-go-lucky guy and he's just, you know, leveling up, and the people in the game world are like, how do you know all this, how are you so good at this, like, you know, and he's just, I played a lot of games, mate, you know. Would you like to come to my Barbie this weekend? You know?
Okay, Abby, now you're being borderline offensive.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Okay, be more respectful to Barbie.
Yeah. Mark that scene now to be cut.
Yeah, I'm debating about it.
Okay. I sincerely apologize to any Australians.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, well, all right.
Australians were harmed in the making of this segment.
Were they, though? Who can say? I'm not too sure. I did check our demographics again. Same with that one lone listener on Australia stopped around an hour of the episode.
You've lost that listener. We're no longer multinational. We're strictly domestic.
Oh, Australia, we lost Australia. Damn it.
It's okay. We lost Connecticut a while ago.
Yeah.
We lost New Hampshire quite a while ago.
Oh God. Yeah. Abby made sure of that. There is no other New Hampshire. We lost them like 2 years ago.
Ooh, sorry. We're down to Georgia and Austin and hoping for the best otherwise.
I'm fine for you, George. I'm fine for you.
Maybe some Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. Either or. But what you been up to since the last meetup, Scott? I don't know your fun stuff.
You know, the July Basho happened. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It ended unexpectedly. Watched season 3, the second half of season 3 and season 4 of Food Wars, which... Have any of you gotten past the first 2 or 3 episodes of that?
I never saw it.
Mm-mm. Okay, so
you
Eric,
told me about how they respond to good food. I was like, nope, this is not for me.
They finally explain it at the end of season 4.
Oh,
at the end of season
That's
4,
a long
it took
way
the
to go for
seasons. Okay,
yeah.
72 episodes later, they finally explain what this is.
Uh-huh.
Was it worth it? No.
Uh-huh.
If you can just roll with it and deal with all the intense fan service orgasmic eating, then it's actually very entertaining. I have season 5 left to go. We'll see what happens. I did stop and I haven't picked it back up again, not because I didn't like it, because I did like it, but, you can only take so much of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
The 743rd reference to Umami and, you know, the 85th, bodice flying off in tatters.
Yeah.
It has its moments. It really is entertaining, and I highly recommend it to those who can get past the fan service stupidity up front. Speaking of which...
Segue? Wait, this is a segue?
That was a segue. Watched Thor.
I haven't seen it yet.
Love and Thunder. Love
and Thunder.
Last night with my wife. Okay.
This is the guy.
That's never a good place to start.
Right? All right, fellas.
Is it Fat Thor?
Pardon me?
Is it Fat Thor being fat?
No.
No.
No, actually it starts with an explanation of... So it's told from the point of view of a person telling the story of what happened here.
Okay.
And it goes through Fat Thor and why he became Fat Thor and how he ceased to be Fat Thor. And it goes back to the relationship that we set up in the very first Thor movie with the character who we promptly dropped. She's back.
Oh.
Okay. I kept leaning over to my wife throughout this movie from the second minute of the movie saying, wow, this is dumb. Given that the Thor series is where they put all that and Guardians of the Galaxy is where the comic relief comes in that mm-hmm. that advances the story without being too self-serious, like, say, the Avengers got. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is a stupid movie. Golly gee willikers, is it entertaining. Every 2 minutes, I just sat there with my mouth agape going, wow, this is dumb. You go. It is every possible cliche packed into one beefcake Thor package. Wow, is this dumb.
Okay.
But
when the kids all rise up and become, and you're going, yeah, I saw this coming from the third minute of the movie, and I'm still really rooting for them. Go, kids! That's what this movie is. It is every, you know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what every single transition is going to be. You know exactly how every scene is going to end, and you love it anyway because it's done with tongue in cheek and no apologies.
Okay.
So it's gotten a lot of really bad reviews from people who said it could have been so good and it turned out to be just a bunch of sight gags. Oh, but they are very funny sight gags.
Okay.
It's one of those things, you know, you talk about, you know, as a storyteller watching it, it was really intriguing because sometimes you get so afraid of going at a cliche or being so too predictable.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. The cliche is not your enemy. Your handling of it is your enemy. The predictability is not your enemy. That's the whole save the cat concept is look, mm-hmm. Yeah. Audiences want a certain amount of predictability. They want to be put through tension without ever really fearing that this is going to go wrong. Thor, Love and Thunder. Okay. That's what it is. In spades, it's almost, you know, Beware of Chicken with the MCU. It's that kind of thing. I didn't realize that the bad guy was Christian Bale until like 89.4% of the way through the movie.
Really?
Is he an ice giant or something?
Pardon me?
Oh, is he an ice giant or something?
No, he's a disappointed dad who becomes the killer of gods.
Oh. Well,
yeah. Because, right. You know, it's the opening premise. I'm not giving anything away. He's, you know, trudging across the desert to get to the shrine of his god, and his daughter dies, and he cries out for her salvation, and he finally finds the oasis where the god lives and finds out the guy's a real jerk who doesn't care about anything. And it ticks him off so bad that he absorbs all darkness in the universe and becomes the god slayer. Okay. A premise that I absolutely, thoroughly, and totally despise. Because I'm sad, therefore everyone else must die. Bite me, dweeby. Bite me. And yet, you thoroughly dislike this guy, you never rooted for him, and you knew exactly how his character arc was going to resolve. Because this is Thor. It can't be too dark, can it? Nope.
Right.
It can't.
You love to hate him.
Yeah.
Okay. So you hate him exactly the way you need to hate him, and you don't begrudge. You begrudge his method, but in the end, we didn't lose anyone that we cared about permanently. I'll let that. Go see the movie and find out what I'm talking about. I really enjoyed it. I would highly recommend it, but it is a really, really colossally stupid movie. that absolutely hits its marks, draws you through with great action, shameless emotional manipulation, and really dumb quips and sight gags frankly, the first 10 minutes of the movie is the worst part of it. Once it finally gets over trying to reference Guardians of the Galaxy and all the other things and just starts being the story it's going to be, it's fine. Okay. For what it's worth.
Okay.
And that was my nerd activity this week, was pretty much, you know, Food Wars and Thor.
I told myself, like, if I ever do see Love and Thunder, I probably have to temper my expectations, because if you listen to the podcast like for a while, you know that I had some very, very strong thoughts about Thor Ragnarok, because I was very much in the minority of that. Everyone was singing its praises, and me, not so much. because for me, it was like, well, it's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. And this wasn't the Thor that we... Yeah, Thor did some stupid stuff and everything, but not quite so... They kind of like just up the volume to like 10.
You may not like Love and Thunder then, because it is stupid Thor being stupidly.
Yeah, to that end, I'm kind of going in and expecting, like, okay, well, you know what they did in Ragnarok, and you know that it was well received by the majority of people. Yes. So do not be surprised if
they've taken that and run with it.
Yeah. Okay. If they take that method and run with it. So I'm kind of going in there like with that mentality. So I may not be quite as jarring as it was for me the first time when they went that direction.
And I had very much the same response. Had not my wife taken me to see this, I still wouldn't have seen it, because I had zero interest in dumb Thor being dumb.
Right.
Which is why it was such a shocking joy that I came out of it. You know, I had to stop and let the tear pass a couple of times, because I was thoroughly engaged by this absolutely shameless manipulation.
Yeah.
And I'm not, okay, I cry at beer commercials, so maybe I'm not a good example of that. Bottle up emotion, looking for an excuse. But it did. It hit the right marks. It resonated in the right ways in a over-the-top, silly sort of way, right? Okay. So just know that going in. And if you don't like that, don't watch it. Okay. If you can tolerate that, I think the payoff is worth it.
Totally fair.
If totally fair. Predictable and utterly in no way surprising.
Okay.
And Russell Crowe as Zeus is hilarious.
When I found out that he was going to be Zeus, I was like...
It is not, it's think Fat Thor as Zeus.
Okay.
With a little bit of Bacchus thrown in for, okay.
See, I've never seen Russell Crowe in a comedic role before. So that kind of made me go, oh.
Russell Crowe takes it exactly that seriously. It is glorious.
Okay.
Really stupid, really dumb, a really dislikable character, I might add. Played for yucks, and so did the sequel. Nice. Yes.
That's always
fun. Okay, that's what's up. Well, all right, Eric, what have you been up to on the night front and stuff since the last meetup?
So I've been playing some video games, doing Final Fantasy 14 still. Been doing some Final Fantasy 3. Finally got on and played some Phantasy Star Online with Raph. You know, it's fun. It's a fun game. It's about what I expected, you know, so it's enjoyable to play. I picked up, cause my wife wanted to play, I picked up Stray, which I will say is a very beautiful game. It is really beautiful. You play as a stray cat in a dystopian future. And it like, you know, you have like a couple buddies you're with and you get separated from them. You wind up in this dystopian city with robots that don't know what a cat is. And so you're walking around and they're like, and like I said, it's so far, it's just extremely beautiful to see. And you know, and our cats like freak out every time because there's a button you can hit, the cat will meow. And like, because the creator actually based it off of his own cat, like he based the cat's design and sound off of his own cat. Mm. So it's pretty funny. But like I said, if you have a chance to just be able to play it for the sake of looking at it, it's a really beautiful game.
I've heard of this one, and I've heard that response is, look, play it for the environment, for the immersion, not for the
Yeah, like I'm not going in there expecting any story or anything like that. I'm more just going in there just like, this is really pretty. So it's been an interesting play so far. And then I'm trying to think. Anime-wise, I started watching Overlord Season 4. It's peeled back some from how the dark ending. They mentioned that they revived some characters from the dark ending of season 3. It's just briefly mentioned, but it's like you don't really see anything from it. But it's still goofy, over the top, and funny because like so in it the if you've never seen Overlord, it's basically this guy has this favorite Sword Art Online style game he loves to play. It's a fantasy game that's being shut down. And he waits till the server closes, and when the server ends, he's in the game, and like all the NPCs come to life, like they're actually real people now. And so there's a lot of just goofy things because he's not really sure how to treat them, like because they all worship him as like a god, and so he's not sure how to treat them, like if he should treat them like his children because his best friends all made them, like they all made these characters, and he looks at them as their children since they made them. So he's not sure, like, should I treat them as my children? Some of them want to be his lovers. He's like, should I treat them like that? But I don't really know what they understand what love actually is. So and then there's like a lot of just goofy yucks. Cause like he wants to go out and explore the world, but he's an undead, and undead are extremely disliked in this world. So he goes out as an adventurer and he becomes this famous adventurer. So everyone's the adventurer's name is like Monomo, something like that. And everyone's like, Monomo, go kill this undead guy. He could beat him. And it's like, he is the undead guy. Just no one knows. So it's really funny. Like I said, it's just really kind of funny. Has a few chuckles. The season 3, I know a lot of people didn't like the ending because it kind of took a very dark turn. But they've kind of gone back to being more lighthearted chuckles in the opening of season 4. I'm enjoying that. I watched a couple episodes of Bastard, Dark Fantasy, and Sorcery. And it's one of those, I can only watch a couple. I liked your review, Scott. I agree with it. You know, it has a very 80s feel. And it's one of those, I can't sit down and binge watch it a lot. There's a lot of fan service that you would have seen in late 80s, early 90s. And the premise is just dumb, but it's just one of those goofy ones I'll sit down and watch every now and then just because it's just one of those things, like, it's a stressful day. Let's just throw something dumb on that's funny to watch.
Well, and it's organized into, at best, 2-episode mini arcs. So you can watch a mini bit and walk away, come back later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, it's fun and goofy. I'm trying to think, because I haven't had a lot of time to watch anime. I've watched the wrap up of Strange New Worlds, which I loved. I still think that's a great series. I thought it was very enjoyable. I'm trying to think what else I've watched recently. Cause I know there's a few other things. I'm just blanking on them at the moment. Because unfortunately, just a lot of life stuff going on and a lot of busy things. I haven't had a lot of anime time watching. I know there's been movies I've watched with my wife. Non-sci-fi stuff I would recommend would be, if you haven't heard of it or watched it, Only Murders in the Building. Hilarious. It is on Hulu, starring Steve Martin. What is his name? I'm blanking on that one. Selena Gomez. And I really cannot remember. I can picture in my head. I can't remember his name. But it's hilarious. Where they live in this classic, I think like the Arcadia in New York. And they're obsessed with murder podcasts, these three people. And a murder happens in their building. So they decide, hey, let's podcast about trying to solve this murder. And it is hilarious seeing them go through this. Steve Martin used to play, like his character used to play a detective on a TV show. So he's always referencing like his TV show. Like, well, on this episode of the TV show, you know, my character did this. Let's try it. And then the other guy, like you said, he's really famous. I'm really sorry I'm blanking on his name.
What's the show called again?
Only Murders in the Building. He used to be like a big playwright. Like he used to make all these big plays and all that. So he's like, well, I used to do a play and we would do this. Martin and then, you know, Selena Gomez is like,
Martin
Short. Thank you. Thank you.
Gosh.
Yeah. Martin Short. Yeah.
I think I was so confused because there's Steve Martin and then Martin Short. Yeah. I was like, oh, that can't be right.
The Martin name slot's been filled. There's something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are so good together. Like, they are absolutely hilarious. I highly recommend that series just because it is just a funny watch. Like, it's kind of, it has some dry humor moments, but it generally it's just a really funny show. It's so much fun to watch. I watch it with my brother. We watch it once a week. So like I said, I can't recommend that show enough just how good it is.
Well, and both of those guys actually are, you think of kind of dumb, big physical humor with those guys, but if you actually watch what they do, there is a very sharp undercurrent to the stuff they do.
Very clever.
And it sounds like that's what they're doing here.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So that very smart humor underneath.
Very clever. Yeah.
Because it really kind of dominated the 90s and the 80s, and now it's like, well, they're still around.
Yeah. Marley gone away, right? I thought he just retired.
Well, he did.
Didn't care anymore.
So I don't know if it's based off anything. I just know that it's a really funny show, and I know that Steve Martin, Martin Shorts, and Selena Gomez are all producers for the show. So you know, they apparently all love the script, love doing it. So it's you know, they have a, you wouldn't think just how young Selena Gomez is compared to Martin Short and Steve Martin. They'd be like
the chemistry work.
Yeah, they have such great chemistry, and like there's one of the scenes that I remember popping in my head is a really hilarious is for the first couple episodes, Steve Martin and Martin Short are the ones trying to send texts, and they have to spell out literally everything. And Selena Gomez is like, "You don't have to type out laugh out loud. You can just put LOL." They go, "Wait, what's like?" Then they'll look over at her and they go, "Wait, what does this actually say? My niece just sent me this." And you know, Selena Gomez will read it. She goes, "She's asking how you're doing." It's like, why didn't she just say that?
No, she did.
I had to do that with my brother when my niece texted me one time. She gave me some abbreviations, and so I silently texted my brother. I was like, "Yo, your daughter, she just sent me this. What the hell does this mean?" And he was like, "Oh, she's asking you what are you up to."
Yeah.
This shame.
But you know, like I said, it's really goofy, really funny. It's all very character driven. So they all have, you know, like issues in their past they're trying to work out as well. So so it's not just them being goofy. There actually is some drama in the background going on as they all are trying to work through some personal issues. So this is like almost the podcast is like a godsend to them. It's something else they can concentrate on what's going on with their lives. Hmm. So it's a fun show. The other one I'm watching that I'm really enjoying with my brother is Terminal List, starring Chris Pratt. That one's just a fun kind of marine shoot 'em up show. You know, it's not much investigative side. You know, it's more just, you know, he's, you know, taken style. I'm going after these people and I'm getting names on my list and don't make sure your names aren't on my list type thing. So it's more just a fun, just kind of, if you go in expecting kind of, you know, if you're going in expecting like a drama, full on large story, larger than life, you're going to be disappointed. If you're going kind of expecting, you know, action with some, you know, built-in drama bits, you know, because one of the key things is like he got a major head trauma during one of his missions that went bad. So some of the scenes in the first few episodes are like, is this really happening or is he imagining it? So that's what makes it kind of interesting at some points, because they slip into like him imagining things and then back into real reality. So sometimes you're like, did that actually happen or was it, you know, him imagining it happening? So that's another kind of interesting one. So other than those, I've been playing It Takes Two with Raph again. We're trying to get that back in so he can drop his PlayStation subscription. But other than that, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing Love and Thunder. I've been trying to get out to see it. Just other things in life have been coming up.
You know, it's a hard one to recommend that you spend $22 to go see in a theater or whatever the ticket price is now.
I have a theater across the street from me that only cost $8 all day.
There you go.
For $8, it's worth it. I paid five and a half on matinee day. So,
very cool.
One thing in the previews for Love and Thunder, a movie that I have been anticipating for a long time had a trailer.
Which movie was it?
Black Adam.
That could be good. I'm looking forward to that.
So here's the thing. It is Dwayne Johnson. Mm-hmm. It's clearly got a little bit of that tongue-in-cheek humor, but it also has, it looks like, a really sharp edge to it. I really want to see it. Apparently, it's coming out in October.
And oh, nice. For what it's worth, I know Dwayne Johnson. He's a huge Black Adam fan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, and that's the impression I get. He's playing it as well as he can play it. And he's actually a surprisingly accomplished actor.
I did hear that like they wanted him to wear a muscle bodysuit, and he said no. Because Black Adam's like really ripped. Let me finish. And the Rock was like,
Johnson, come on, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dwayne Johnson was like, no. He goes, if you need me to bulk up, I will bulk up, but I'm not wearing a muscle suit.
And you can tell, by the way, because there's some scenes where he's doing his thing, and you're just like,
what muscle?
Just him.
Yeah.
Just in the preview, you can see
that. Yeah, no, that's I'm looking forward to that movie. But the last thing I was going to mention is because the viewers will see it. Because tomorrow, Harley Quinn season 3 comes out. I am so looking forward to that.
Right. That one, apparently a lot of people have been waiting on that one, so.
Well, it's just a really, really goofy series. It is just, it's one of those, I love it, because the characters kind of have heart, and Harley, like, Katie Kuklo, I think, I'm butchering her name, I know that, Penny from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
She does the voice of Harley, and she just nails it. And it's one of those, I think it's just a hilarious series. I really like the series, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they go. Because I read the mini comic issue series they released that's supposed to take place between season 2 and 3.
Okay. I really haven't done, well, I've done nerdy stuff since the last meetup, but it's usually just the same old, nothing new, nothing really new. Still doing my dailies and stuff on Phantasy Star Online. But yeah, you know what? Actually, I did finish Star Trek Strange New Worlds since the last meetup, and wow, I really, really like that show. I'm so looking forward to season 2. Very pissed because season 1 ended on the worst cliffhanger. And the worst cliffhangers are really good cliffhangers, but the cliffhanger is all the same. It's like, how dare you make me have to wait another year for this resolution? So there's that. But beyond that, I did thoroughly enjoy it. Actually, funny enough, finished watching the latest season of Injustice because when I got home from work this afternoon.
Young Justice or Injustice?
Young Justice.
You said Injustice.
Did I say Injustice?
Yeah.
Come on, Rafael.
There is a movie. There is an Injustice movie. That's what's making sure.
Yeah. I'm at Young Justice. I watched the latest season of Young Justice just because like when I got home, Sarah was watching it. And I was like, oh. Is this the season that just came out? What episode is this? Okay, whatever. So, I mean, I'm doing my online classes and stuff while, like, in the background. I have my headphones on, but every once in a while, I just hear something that kind of makes me glance up just to see what's going on screen. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that's... Okay, well, back to it. And then I keep on, like, glancing up because more and more stuff happens. It's like, oh, my God. This show is real. Like they're hitting some really like heavy hitting like real stuff. I'm like, oh, this is why people were so enraged when they said that it was like canceled abruptly like all those years ago and like wow, they're so excited. Because I do remember watching the first season. And it was good. I mean, there wasn't anything bad about it. I enjoyed it, but I mean, I really wasn't as captivated by it as like other people were. So when season 2 came out, I was like, you know, other things came on, and so I never really watched it. But then, of course, there's that long hiatus because it got canceled, and then it got picked up by HBO, and then they started running like the new seasons and stuff on that. And so I had some familiarity with a couple of the characters, but of course, I might have missed so many seasons. I had no idea. I had no earthly clue what was going on in the last episodes, which is totally fair because, hey, I mean, I just skipped like 3 seasons more or less. But to that end, I mean, there was enough of a story there that maybe like one would be like, oh, wow, okay, I need to see what's going on here. Because they actually did enough, like backstory for you to know what was going on at this time. So you were able to kind of fill in the gaps at the very least and everything. So I watched six episodes of Young Justice. I apologize for cheating, but I really liked it. from what I saw, I really, really liked it. So take that at, you know, take it for what it's worth. And that was about it on the nerdy front of things. Again, usually it is the same show, same video games and all that stuff. So, pretty mellow. If there is like one nerdy thing that, that I would mention is we, watched The Gray Man on Netflix. That was a lot of fun, actually. It was going back to Scott's take on Love and Thunder. Everything that happened, you knew it was going to happen. You saw the premise. It was like, okay, this is the story of a secret agency gone rogue. They got their dirty laundry out in the public and everything, and now they're trying to clean it up. Ryan Gosling is the said agent who found the dirty laundry, and now he has to get cleaned up. And Chris Evans is the person that they're going to use to.
But Chris Evans is so good. He's just amazing.
That being said, Chris Evans was like the wild gun in the show because while he does fit that trope, more or less, what they did with that character was absolutely hysterical. He was absolutely hysterical. It kind of reminds me, like, oh yeah, that's right, he was Human Torch before he was Captain America because he's funny. And his delivery on like a lot of his lines and stuff in that movie were just so stellar. So beyond like those common things that you expect in a film like this, you got the old mentor with Billy Bob Thornton, the follows the rule book, the golden agent, and Ana de Armas. And then, you know, you gotta have the close quarter combat, you gotta have the firefight, you gotta have the car chasing, and you know, blah 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 blah. But it was done. I mean, you expected it, but hey, it was done well, so I'm good with it. I really can't argue or really complain about it. My final thoughts was like, okay, you know what? Had this been in theaters, I would have actually, you know, spent the money to go see it. And for me, that says a lot, considering, you know, how I take in my film content as of late. So, yeah, I would gladly give this money to watch it. And they announced that there's going to be a sequel to it. And I'm all for it. I'm so excited for it. So, yeah, a lot of fun. If you want a nice little action flick popcorn film, definitely check it out.
With some fun color commentary from Chris Evans while it goes on.
Yes. Thank you, Chris Evans, for being Chris Evans. But folks, I think that pretty much covers this Nerdy Chat episode. There is a lot to cover on that. But so you can follow up with us in a month from now with our next Nerdy Chat. I'm sure there's going to be some more stuff to discuss in the meantime. But if you don't want to wait that long, you can just follow up with us in another 2 weeks, where we will be picking up with our latest story by Nerd Summit. Oh, Scott, why are you hiding? is it because you're the one who's going to be writing the next Summit? I think it is.
Important word choice, going to be. As opposed to has already done.
well, that's why we give everyone a month apart. But whatever the case, folks, if you like our story by Nerd Simmons or our Nerdy Chat episodes, be sure to give us a like, a heart, thumbs up, stars, whatever positive outlet to the source of this podcast, whether that is iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, etc., etc. You get the idea. But folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Story Service Podcast. Hey, I'm Rafael. I'm joining y'all. Keep thinking big, y'all, like a level. And this is Scott, Abby, and Eric signing off. Mr. Scott, it's going to be that final send-off for our listeners.
If there's no corn in the bread, it's not cornbread. Just saying.
Raph, you know what I'm thinking about.
Yes, Eric, I know exactly. So when we were in college one time, Eric being...
Twice. No, I did not make it. You guys made it.
That was... No.
Yes.
That was...
I did not make it because I would never have used corn.